bought this property down here in 1911. They were Swedish, and they were going to start a Swedish community, and it ended up, it was Carlson, Allison, Bengston, Theander, and there's one other name I can't think of right now, but it never grew any larger than that. That was in the area southeast of Ashland, about 10 miles where my grandfather's property was. They broke it out in 1914, and two of my mother's brothers were living down there. They built a granary, and they actually lived in the second floor of the granary until they got a house built later, sometime later. My father was, my grandfolks lived up in Edwards County, north of Kinsley, and my father's family lived in Pawnee County, only about 4 miles away. And he was actually working for my grandfather Carlson, and they sent him down to Clark County to help my mother's brothers. They were batching down there. That's the first any of my family were here. My dad actually married my mother in 1923, and he moved to Ashland and bought a blacksmith shop. And he ran a blacksmith shop from 23 until actually 1946. But he also, in 36, we moved from town out to this land, and he got it started farming and blacksmithing at the same time. So I guess I am probably a third generation of any relative being here. But my grandfather never worked down here, so maybe it's only two generations.
And your parents got married in 1923?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's when your dad set up the blacksmith shop and farming. How long did he run a blacksmith shop?
It was till 1946.
Did he start working on vehicles? Did he start working on automobiles, or was it strictly horses?
No, it was farm equipment.
Okay.
Plowshares, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There were no automobiles involved. Mm-hmm. It's working in behind the Fords and that kind of stuff.
Hard work.
And but then in 1936, we moved from town to the country, and he got in the farming business on this land that my grandfather owned.
Do you remember where his blacksmith shop was?
I know exactly where it was. I used to have to go in on Saturdays and help after I got old enough to.
Do you have a street address?
It's on East 8th Street, and it's now a vacant lot. A vacant lot right across from Mishler's business.
The current
Mishler's business.
Okay. It's
straight across the street.
So that open lot, and it's on the east side of the street.
That's right.
Was your father's blacksmith shop.
Right.
Okay. So he left the blacksmith shop in 36 and went to the farm?
He moved out in the country and started farming and blacksmithing both.
Okay.
And then in 46, when I was in the Navy, he had a They found a heart murmur or something, and the doctor recommended he get out of the blacksmithing business. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up selling it probably four times. People, he'd have to take it back. They couldn't make the payments. But he actually never blacksmithed there. He did have his own little shop out on the farm where he did stuff. He had a forge and that kind of thing out there. But that was just personal.
Okay. So your family's traditional role in Clark County was the blacksmith and farming. Is that what your mother's brothers were doing, primarily farming as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, and they actually, one of them worked down here until he got married. Then he went off someplace else and he actually ended up being a lawyer.
Okay.
The other uncle, which my uncle was, lived up in Ford County. And he had a farm up there, but he didn't farm down here anymore. My dad did all the farming down here.
So did he absorb their land?
The land was actually, when it was divided amongst the siblings, there were seven of them. There were three of them got parcels of this land, mm-hmm. and my mother got actually a quarter where the house was. And we rented the other two, the other portions of one section.
Okay. Do you know what kind of crops your family raised?
Well, basically, is sorghum and wheat. Mm-hmm.
What did you do with grain sorghum?
Fed it to the cattle.
Okay.
And until they started later years, they started raising Milo, mm-hmm. and they used it. But they still had sorghum raised for the cattle, too.
Did you raise anything besides cattle?
No.
Okay. Do you remember what kind of cattle did you run?
Well, it was beef cattle.
Angus, Hereford?
Well, the Angus cattle were, there was only about one person in this county that even had Angus cattle at that time. Mm-hmm. But it was Shorthorn and Hereford and cross, mm-hmm. probably mostly crossbred cattle, different kinds.
Mm-hmm. Did you ship in cattle? Did you just run cow pairs? How did you do it?
Basically, it was cow-calf operation. Mm-hmm. Later in time, Dad would end up buying some calves mm-hmm. and running them on wheat pasture.
Mm-hmm. Did you have them shipped in?
No, they'd get them at the sale barn.
Where was the sale barn?
Where
was the sale barn?
It's down where the south end of town. It is where Doug Roberts has his welding shop. It's west of the feed and seed business.
Okay. I didn't know that Ashland had had their own sale barn.
For years and years and years.
Okay. Do you have any family stories about the Dirty 30s?
Well, I remember the Dirty 30s. I can remember. I was born in 27. So about 34, when it started getting pretty dry, I can remember when the Dust Bowl, the very first bad dust storm came in, watched it come in. And it was in the latter part of the, that was, we moved out to the country in 36, and that was towards the end of that drought area. Then in In 52, we had another one. It was 52 to 57, we had another drought area. But that time, I got married in 51. And in 52, and I was working on a what we call the Dakin Ranch or the Comstock Ranch, north of Ashland. And in 53, the price of cattle dropped extensively, and I personally had about 45 head of cows and calves, and that I rented pasture on the Dakin Ranch, but I decided that I needed another form of income, and I had had 2 years of school at K-State, and I went back to K-State and became a geologist, and I worked then, after that, I worked a number of years for City Service Oil Company, and in 64, I moved back to the farm. During the time with City Service, I lived in 6 different states and 2 of them twice.
Did you take a family with you when you were moving?
Oh, yeah.
How many children do you have?
I have 3. Mm-hmm. And one of them was born. My daughter was born when I was getting my degree in geology at K-State, in Manhattan, Kansas. My second was a son born in Bismarck, North Dakota. The third was a son that was born in Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Okay. So if I'm tracking you right, you were a geologist for 8 years?
I said a number of years.
Okay.
I didn't say the amount. After I moved back here to my father in 64, was ready to quit farming, I moved back to Ashland and took over the farming. Mm-hmm. And then I did do independent oil geology. I would do what we call a well setting. I'd go on a drilling well and look at drilling samples and try to find out where the pay zone might be. Mm-hmm. And I did that until around 83, when the price of oil dropped, and so I quit doing that.
Okay.
But we end up buying the place where I stayed, and I leased land adjoining to it, and then I also leased the land down at what I call the home place where I was raised as a kid. Okay. And then I ran my own cattle until probably 5 years ago, when I sold out and started just taking in cows and calves. Mm-hmm. In the winter.
Do you have someone who feeds them for you?
No. That was a grazing situation where I looked after the windmills and mineral and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this cow-calf operation, they'd be in about 6 months.
Okay.
And then I didn't have to do anything in the winter.
Good planning. Okay. Just to go back for just a second, when we ask what the Depression, how it affected your farm, well, we're talking 30s and then the 50s, but basically, is that what caused you to go for off-farm income, was the Depression?
The second Depression. Mm-hmm. Not the 30s.
Not the first one.
The 50s Depression.
Okay.
Is what caused me to go back to school and get a degree in something.
When you were working for the Comstock Ranch?
Well, it's Dakin Ranch on Comstock land, yeah.
Okay. What did you do?
I was just the regular hired hand. And looked after, they took in cattle, mm-hmm. and I looked after everybody's cattle, including my own. Mm-hmm. I had about 40-some head of cows with calves myself. Mm-hmm. And they took in cattle from other people, and the Dakins didn't run any cattle until about the time I left, and they decided to. But then I calved out about 50 head of heifers for them. But then I left after that.
Okay. How did you take care of these cattle? Did you have a feed truck? Were you feeding them in a lot?
We had cattle in the winter. I'd cake cattle for other people. Mm-hmm. Or feed a protein supplement. Mm-hmm. And of course, I had my own cattle. I took care of them.
Okay.
But we had. I remember getting a load of cake in one time. It was 11 tons. It was all in 100-pound sacks, and I stacked all that stuff. I was able to pick up a 100-pound sack.
Okay.
I couldn't do it now.
What happened to your family farm in World War I, World War II? Did some of your young men have to join the war effort? How did it affect your family?
Okay, in World War I, that was
a little before.
That was before I was born.
Right.
And that was before my dad got married. Mm-hmm. So anybody on the land that we're talking about, it was my mother's brothers and my dad. He went to the army here out in 1917 out of Ashland.
Okay.
But he was single mm-hmm. at the time. And I can't tell you much about that.
How did World War II affect your farm? Because you would have been.
I went to in the service right before the end of World War II. I was the last draft age in 1945. Okay. When I went in February of 45, and the war was over in this fall of in August of 45.
Okay.
And then when I came back in summer of 46, then I went to K-State for a couple of years. Then I got married, spent 5 years either working on the farm for my dad or after I got married for 2 years and then back to school again mm-hmm. in 53. But I don't know how the World War II affected the land.
Usually you think the men that would have been doing the farm work, in some families, those men had to go to the war effort, and sometimes the women had to pick up and try to do the job.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the summer of 1944, when we were harvesting, my dad was on the tractor. My oldest sister was on the combine, and he could tell her what to do. My other sister was plowing, and I was hauling wheat and scooping wheat into the bin. That's how we handled that one summer.
Mm-hmm. Was this a pull-type combine or self-propelled?
It was before self-propelled.
Okay.
It was pull-type.
Did you have an auger? Did you auger into a wagon or a truck, or was it when you had to pull the wagon behind all the time?
We had an auger on our truck, and we would auger until it would break down, and then I'd end up having to scoop the rest in. And then in between loads of wheat, I'd have to work on the auger to get it to working again.
It was in your best interest for it to work.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. No wonder you could throw 100-pound bags. How has your role in this community changed? I see your father as a business owner and then a farmer. And you were farm help and then became a professional person?
Well, I was, when I moved back here, I was both. Mm-hmm. I did, I farmed, and I gradually got more equipment and gradually better equipment as years gone by. And then in the meantime, I did well work for different oil companies while they were drilling a well. I didn't do prospect stuff at all. I was actually working on the drilling rig, describing samples that were being brought up, looking through a microscope. And generally, it was not a wildcat well. It was generally a development well that's offsetting current production, then you knew where the main horizon was you were looking for, and it was what you look for any horizons along the way, but you made sure you were arrived and tested the zone that you were after.
What does horizon mean?
Well, I'm talking about a geological formation.
That tells you...
Well, it's either... Generally, here it's either shale or limestone or sandstone or a combination of any of the three.
And you can tell there might be oil because...
That's right.
Okay. Just because of how the rocks are formed?
We were looking through a microscope, and you could see if you found a zone that had porosity in it, if say a sandstone or a limestone, not shale, would have a porosity enough to have fluid in it, and if it had a good oil show. You could detect it sometimes on the samples, but you also had other methods that help you find out. And then they did physical tests to see what was in that particular zone. It might be salt water, might be gas, might be oil and gas, might be nothing.
Did your family hire outside help, or did you mostly work the kids? How did you do that when you were farming?
The only time we hired any outside help was to combine wheat.
Did you hire somebody to help you run your equipment, or did you hire custom cutters?
I had my kids running my equipment. Other than that, I did it.
Okay. Another question. When you're taking care of all these cattle, did you do it horseback or did you do it with a feed pickup?
Both. I used a horse a lot. I always had a pick with up. And, you know, as time went on, we kept getting, we fed out of, sacks or containers. And then we get a deal that you can run a caker on the pickup, and then you get to where you have a outfit to pick up bales and that kind of thing. But I used to, I would like right now to be able to ride a horse and check cattle. You can go places with a horse you can't with a pickup, especially in the canyon country like mine is.
Is your ground mostly deep canyon? Describe the topography.
It's, well, I'm adjacent, my, I've got flat land adjacent to canyon country. So you farm the flatter stuff and run cattle on the other.
What percentage of your ground would you say is farmland?
It was about 50-50. Mm-hmm. Most of it now is, and it's all back in grass right now. I went into the CRP program, mm-hmm. and for all but about 80-some acres, which I hay annually, mm-hmm. and other farm ground is in the CRP program.
What kind of hay do you raise?
It's a form of Old World Blue Stem. It's a variety. I have Old World Blue Stem, mm-hmm. and a variety of Old World Blue Stem.
How do you think farming has changed in the last 100 years? What would you say are the major changes?
Equipment.
For better or worse?
Oh, it's way better. Everything's better. They keep improving, and the price is getting a lot higher too. But the equipment is way better. You just think about walking plow, and then finally get it where you could use, have two plow shears or something with horses pulling, and it's getting bigger. Then they invented the tractors, and they just get bigger and bigger. They're still getting bigger. Wider, cover more ground in a little bit of time anymore. And,
do you manage your grass differently now than your dad did?
Probably not. When my dad was farming, it was probably 2/3 farm ground and 1/3 grass. So it would be a lot different than the way mine is now, where it's all grass and no actual farming other than the haying program. So there's no plowing or work of the ground or anything like that. So it's changed quite a bit.
Down to 80 acres, yes. Another question is, has your fencing changed? I'm assuming you have a lot of new fence in the last 2 years.
I have a lot of new fence. Sure do. This county has some of the best fences. It does have the best fences now that it ever had due to our fire.
Did you go to all metal, or did you put in wood posts?
And my place that I own, which is northeast of Ashland, we have metal and wooden posts. Down south, where I used to live, it's all metal down there. Mm-hmm. I don't own the land, but we went back with all metal. And it'll be there for years and years and years.
I've heard there's a generation that won't know how to fix tents.
That's probably right. That's probably right.
Do you remember any family stories of disasters, not the fire? Did your family have any stories of things that just went wrong?
The only thing would be drought. No really catastrophes that I could think of. Not really.
Okay. Did your ranch ground have a school quarter? Did you have school on it?
Actually, the land that my granddad bought in 1911, and sometime it had a schoolhouse on it in the very northeast corner, and I can't tell you the years, but it was in the late teens, I'm sure. It wasn't there in 1936, I can tell you that, because that's when I moved down there.
Do you know what it was called?
I do not know if it had a name or not. I know it might have had a number, but I can't tell you that. We didn't have any records on it. The Wendell McMenemy had a book that about that particular school.
The Sitka book.
What?
The Sitka book.
What?
Did the Sitka book talk about that school?
No.
Okay.
No, I just know where it was. There's still some remnants of some foundation. Mm-hmm. It's all I ever saw.
There were a lot of schools.
Right.
When you look at the cattle that you are feeding now, the cow-calves on your ground, what physical differences would you see between the cattle now and the cattle 80 or 100 years ago? How have they changed?
The size is a lot different. They're a lot bigger. That's one of the main differences that I'd see. The size is quite a bit different.
What would you say a modern cow usually weighs?
I would guess an average of 1,000 to 1,200 pounds now.
What would you say the cattle your dad ran, what would they have weighed?
It'd been 800 to 900.
So they've increased that much.
Yeah. And the same way with the calves, everybody's bigger than it used to be. Sure are.
Are you running any purebred now that you're feeding, or are they mostly cross?
Most of the, all of the cattle that I'm taking in now are Angus.
Okay.
They have Angus cows and Angus bulls.
Mm-hmm. Black?
What?
Black.
Black Angus, not red.
Okay. Okay, when you think about how when you first had your 45 pair that were yours and the cattle you're helping now, what has changed in how you medicate?
The main difference would be the antibiotics. I can remember everybody always gave blackleg to the calves, blackleg shots, and they still do. But then the medication for when they get a disease or to keep from getting a certain disease has changed, and they keep continually changing, and I'm clear out of that business right now, so I can't really tell you much better. They still do penicillin, just like they do on people. But they've got all the variations of stuff for different problems that they may have, or an infection. If they get an infection, they do give penicillin for that.
When you were a kid, did you have a chute? Did you have working corrals? How did you capture this animal to work on it?
For a while, it's just you catch them and throw them and work on them, or you put a rope and tie them up. Mm-hmm. The chutes came along later.
Do you remember when the chutes came?
I would say in the 40s, that I can remember. Mm-hmm.
I'm a 60s model, and I don't ever remember not having a chute and an alley. So it's just always been in my background.
Well, I can remember helping guys work calves, and if there are two of you, you'd throw him down, one of them hold him down, the other do whatever you had to do.
Right.
Now, then there's, if you were horseback, you could rope them and one person do that, and then it'd take one or two to hold the calf down and work whatever they're going to do, either brand it or whatever it had to be done. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are still doing that, working calves. The wolf folks in protection have gone back to roping and dragging. It's more fun.
They try to say it's less stress on the animal.
Probably, it could be.
And it's also more fun. Okay, looking back, what is the smartest thing you ever did with your operation? And then on the other side, what would you change if you could?
Well, the smartest thing I ever done was go back to college and get a degree in geology. And maybe the second smartest thing is when I left the oil company and came back to the farm.
Why?
Not having to move around. See, in 9 years that I've worked at an oil company, I lived in 6 states and 2 of them twice. Yeah. And it was really bothering my oldest, moving from school to school.
Yeah.
And so I...
So
my kids thought it was wonderful that we moved in one spot.
So it was hard on them. And not to mention your wife, that was trying to make a home.
Yeah, it's really tough on, probably tougher on her than anybody.
Yeah. Okay, what would you change? Is there anything that you would have done differently if you had known?
Looking back, I had a pretty good life. I don't know that I think everything that I did was in moving around for a few years. We met a lot of different people that are still friends. Mm-hmm. And saw a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. I just tell you what, I first went to work for city service. I went to Odessa, Texas, worked on a seismic crew, moved to Deming, New Mexico, and got on a uranium investigations crew, and then Albuquerque. Worked through Rocky Mountains with that. Moved to North Dakota, back in the oil patch. Then to Billings, Montana. And then the oil business. And then El Dorado, Kansas. I was on 9 wells in 9 weeks at El Dorado. Then they moved me to Bartlesville, Oklahoma for a training program. Then San Antonio, Texas for a couple of years, and then into Liberal, Kansas. And that's when I decided I'd never get any closer to home than Liberal. And that's when I quit. But and at Liberal, I was strictly well site work, where I was on 36 wells in 18 months. And I didn't mind not doing that regular.
Was it better than scooping wheat?
Yeah, a lot easier than scooping wheat. Okay. Paid better too.
Well, this kind of leads to the last question. Are you preparing another generation to run your farm?
I don't think so.
What do you think will happen to your land?
I'm going to leave that up to my kids. One of them lives in Colorado, one of them lives in eastern Oklahoma, and one of them lives in southern Mississippi. And none of them are going to be coming back to the farm. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let them decide what to do with it. I know they can sell it.
Yeah.
There's somebody always wanting a place to hunt deer or something like that. I've been asked that already. One person said, out of Florida, wanted to buy it just for hunting, and he said, you can live there as long as you want to. But he wanted to be able to hunt. Mm-hmm. Of course, he didn't get it, though. No, I still got it. Now, this is the end of my family of farming. It sounds kind of sad, but...
It's just another chapter.
It's another chapter, that's right.
You know, we're trying to get some things down on paper, so that the next generation, when they wish they knew things, could look back at it. Is there anything you wish you could tell the next batch of people here in Clark County about your experiences?
I don't know that I could... I had such good experiences in different phases of it that everything I did had good experiences about it. Mm-hmm. There was some bad along the way, but not more good than bad by far. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty satisfied the way it went.
Vernon, thank you so much for taking your time to talk with us.
You're welcome.
We'll try and share it.
Okay.
And...